improvements. Las Vegas Sands Corporation uses AI to model different layouts of gaming stations throughout its casino to optimize financial performance. By monitoring how different layouts affect profits, the company gains continuous insights that inform future renovations. Faster testers. Many researchers find that their least favorite part of what they do is actually running an experiment and collecting the data. The other parts of the R&D process, discovery and asking questions, provide them the most satisfaction. It's a relief then to realize what a boon artificial intelligence is to experimental testing. Here, we see another recurring story. AI can resolve the tedium and allow practitioners to bypass drudgery, to spend more time conceiving new experiments, for instance, or asking unexpected questions. The business benefit is clear, bringing more high-quality products to market faster. While today's experimental environments look in some fundamental ways similar to labs from decades ago, mice in cages, petri dishes in incubators, titration systems, and so on, many areas of science are moving more fully into silicon. That is, they can simulate experiments inside computers. In Chapter 1, we described GE's software Predix, which runs virtual experiments with digitized versions of factory machines. But the reality is, you don't need Predix to create a model of your processes and run tests. You just need a solid understanding of the steps in your process and clean data that you can use to develop a model. Everything from financial services and insurance products to beer brewing and shaving cream chemistry can be described digitally. Once it is, it can be optimized. Traditionally, optimization algorithms have been confined to academia or used only by experts. One startup called SigOpt, however, realized that machine learning could turn any digital model into an easily solved optimization problem, essentially democratizing this powerful computational tool for the masses. You don't want to have to be an expert in Bayesian optimization in order to apply these types of techniques, says Scott Clark, CEO of SigOpt. The company's goal is to free subject matter experts from having to spend time tweaking digital systems, trying to find best-case scenarios. Instead, it wants to empower them to experiment more. A chemist who is actually brewing stuff up on their lab bench can just have their laptop open or have SigOpt's interface on their phone, explains Clark. The software would prompt the chemist, "This is the next experiment to try," or it might note that a certain experiment did particularly well. It's guiding them through that as easily as possible, so they don't have to have any internal knowledge of the system, says Clark. They just get the best results out. In other words, one of the scientists' main tasks, to test ideas, is augmented by SigOpt's tools. Personalized delivery, theory and practice. After testing, scientists develop their general theories and then start the process, beginning with observation all over again. In business, after the tests and optimization come marketing and product delivery. Many trends, including the increasing availability of customer data, are leading to a new level of product customization and delivery. As we saw in Chapter 1, AI is making it more economical to make personalized consumables like cars. From Chapter 2, we heard how AI can turn routine back-office interactions into more personalized services that improve customer experience. AI is also operating in the R&D departments responsible for these changes in mass customization. Take, for example, the healthcare industry. AI is now enabling the era of personalized medicine based on genetic testing. In the past, it was virtually impossible to analyze and manage all the combinations of possible treatments for each patient by hand. Today, intelligent systems are taking over that job. Decades from now, or sooner, it will seem absurd that doctors prescribe the same treatment to a wide swath of their patients. Everyone's treatments will be personalized. Along these lines, GNS, the analytics firm, has been crunching huge amounts of data to match specific drugs and non-drug interventions to individual patients. By better matching drugs to different individuals, the company can improve outcomes, lower costs, and save hundreds of billions of dollars, according to co-founder Hill. Now that so much data about patients' individual genomes and responsiveness to various chemical compounds is available, it simply doesn't make sense to deploy one-size-fits-all treatments. Individualized treatments could solve an especially critical problem in clinical trials, of which more than 80% fail due to some level of mismatching between patient and drug. Responsible AI, ethics as a precursor to discovery. A significant portion of research is conducted using human subjects. To protect those individuals, many organizations have established institutional review boards, IRBs, committees that approve, monitor, and review research conducted on humans. Although IRBs are required of all research affiliated with universities in the United States, they're virtually non-existent in the commercial world. But some companies, including Facebook, have taken it upon themselves to develop their own sets of rules regarding their research ethics committees. These rules borrow from common IRB protocols, but can differ in terms of transparency and the affiliations of people allowed to serve on the committees. But what makes all of this even more challenging is that, with the exception of the pharmaceutical industry, there's no standard protocol for determining which new technology product is a human research study, or how exactly a company should proceed as it tests and develops the product. Clearly, there are a variety of ethical gray areas when it comes to technology deployment generally, and AI in particular. Facebook itself raised many ethical concerns when, in one experiment, the company manipulated what people saw on their feeds, increasing the number of positive or negative posts to see how that would affect their moods. This prompted a Forbes columnist to ask, "So is it okay for Facebook to play mind games with us for science?" In part two, we explore various issues relating to the ethics of using AI in R&D and other areas. We'll hear in chapter 5 how some companies are adding new job functions, such as that of the ethics compliance manager, who will be the official corporate watchdog and ombudsman for ensuring that the organization follows generally accepted norms of human values and morals. The R&D risk factor. The use of AI in the different stages of R&D, observations, hypothesis generation, experiment design, and so on, is producing remarkable gains at all levels and in a variety of fields. Discoveries made over the course of a decade are being replicated, without any guidance, within a matter of months, resulting in dramatic time and cost savings. This has led to a fundamental rethinking of how companies manage their R&D activities. In the past, at many firms, most R&D projects didn't pan out, meaning losses of tens of millions of dollars or more every year. The result was that companies tended to be risk-averse, less likely to fund blue-sky research projects. But when you add AI into the R&D pipeline, you speed up the discovery process for some projects and improve the success rate of others. More money can then be freed up for riskier and potentially the most lucrative or groundbreaking research initiatives. The pharmaceutical industry is a case in point. Traditionally, drug discovery has started with the medicinal chemist, people who are good at looking at a pharmaceutical problem and finding molecules to match. Unfortunately, they can only ever test maybe 1% of those ideas, explains Brandon Allgood, chief technology officer and co-founder of Numerit. They have to go through a triage system of winnowing down ideas they think they can try. A lot of that is subjective. A lot of that is based on rules of thumb. Numerit deploys machine learning to identify compounds with the highest probability of success against specific disease targets. Using that technology, researchers were able to develop a better HIV drug in 6 months, instead of the 10 years and $20 million to develop the current HIV drug. What our machine learning allows them to do is encode all of these really good ideas to help them be able to search a billion molecules and only make 100 or 200, Allgood says. It allows them to explore many ideas that they wouldn't even get to, what I would call kooky ideas, and be able to test those now because they can. It allows them to be more creative and allows them to think more broadly and try out different ideas. AI in healthcare and life sciences. In the healthcare industry, AI allows scientists and doctors to focus on high-value work to improve patients' lives. Berg Health uses AI to analyze patient data and create a molecular map, which determines the likelihood that pancreatic cancer patients will respond positively to Berg's Phase 2 treatment. Researchers from Cincinnati Children's Hospital are using machine learning to better predict patient participation response for clinical trials. The current participation rate is about 60%, but they hope to use AI to boost this to 72%. Johnson & Johnson is training IBM's Watson to rapidly read and analyze scientific literature to save scientists time in the drug discovery process. Smarter R&D with intelligent systems. In every step of the R&D process, AI is giving researchers and product developers a remarkable boost. It's changing the way people think about conceiving their experiments, freeing them up to explore avenues that might previously have been off limits, because they would have required too much time and money. In this chapter, we heard how a company like Tesla is using AI to reimagine the way it develops and tests a future generation of driverless vehicles. The experimentation part of MELDS. AI is also enabling researchers to mine the data from past tests to uncover new insights and to conduct virtual experiments to test any hypothesis more quickly. All this, however, requires a shift in the employee skills needed, the S in MELDS. For example, when product developers can run a digital simulation to test a new design, thus freeing them from the cost, time, and tedium of having to build a physical prototype, they then must become better at conceiving more innovative products. Thanks to AI, that type of fundamental change in mindset, pursuing ideas that might initially lack promise but could lead to a breakthrough, has already been occurring in the pharmaceutical industry. Yet, as companies increasingly deploy AI tools to reimagine their R&D processes, leaders, the L part of MELDS, need to always be mindful of the ethical issues involved, especially when human subjects are involved. The next chapter moves from R&D to marketing and sales. There, we'll discover that the impact of AI has been just as great, if not more so, as machine learning technologies like Apple's Siri and Amazon's Alexa increasingly become the digital embodiment of those companies' well-known brands. 4. Say hello to your new front office bots. AI in customer service, sales, and marketing. Coca-Cola, the consumer beverage giant, operates a vast army of 16 million cooler cabinets keeping its soft drinks refrigerated at retail outlets worldwide. This army requires thousands of employees to visit those sites and manually take stock of the Coca-Cola products at those locations. Recently, the company has been piloting a proof-of-concept project using AI to manage the coolers. The project calls for the development of a new AI capability called Einstein from Customer Relationship Management, CRM, vendor Salesforce, which uses computer vision, deep learning, and natural language processing technologies. Using an Einstein-powered app, in pilot with select Coca-Cola retailers, an employee on-site could take a cell phone photo of the cooler cabinet, and Einstein's image recognition services will analyze the photo to identify and count the different Coca-Cola bottles in it. Einstein would then predict and recommend a restocking order using CRM data and other information, including weather forecasts, promotional offers, inventory levels, and historical data to account for seasonal fluctuations and various other factors. The automation of the count and restocking order could save employees paperwork and time, and the added intelligence of the system has the potential to improve sales and increase customer satisfaction. In the front office, AI is poised to help companies like Coca-Cola improve the experiences and outcomes for every critical customer interaction, including interactions in three key functions: sales, marketing, and customer service. In those areas, AI has been both automating employee tasks and augmenting workers' own capabilities. We have heard, for example, how AI agents like Amazon's Alexa and other systems that automate customer interactions now allow workers to handle more complicated tasks and let businesses shift workers to where people skills are more important. Such shifts are also significantly affecting the customer relationship with corporations and brands. In many cases, it can save a customer time and effort and can help provide customizable experiences and products, cutting back on a lot of wasted advertising, an increasingly important trend in retail. In other cases, such as digital lending, which uses AI to analyze vast and varied data troves, customers who might have been overlooked with a traditional credit check could suddenly have much easier access to credit and loans. And finally, these changes are bound to affect the relationships that customers and brands have with the products themselves. As consumable items produce more data about their performance and send this data back to their manufacturer, companies can start to think differently about product support and the products themselves. For instance, Philips Smart Lighting uses AI to predict when bulbs will lose their efficiency, which ties into the company's recycling and replacement service. In short, sensor data and AI are now allowing the company to sell light as a service instead of just bulbs. Heady times, for sure, but as AI enters the front office, new questions about best practices arise. How do AI and new modes of human-machine interaction change the way companies deliver goods and services? And how are these interactions shaping the future of work? How do the new user interfaces like Alexa change the relationships between companies' brands and their customers? What design choices can make or break a natural language bot? And what happens when logos and mascots, traditional brand ambassadors, gain intelligence? These questions are at the heart of this chapter. Customer-aware shops. To begin answering those questions, let's return to the retail floor. While Coca-Cola has been piloting the use of AI to automate its product ordering process, other companies are focusing more on improving the customer experience by augmenting the work of floor sales staff. Take, for example, the global fashion company Ralph Lauren, which has partnered with Oak Labs, a San Francisco-based startup, to develop an integrated commerce experience for shoppers. A key part of the technology is the connected fitting room, equipped with a smart mirror that relies on RFID to automatically recognize the items that a shopper brings into the room. The mirror, which can translate 6 languages, can then display details about an item. It can also change the lighting, bright natural light, sunset, club setting, and so on, so shoppers can see how they look in different settings. And the mirror can indicate whether items are available in additional colors or sizes, which a sales associate delivers to the dressing room. This last feature is the kind of personalized customer service that a sales associate, harried by tending to many customers at once, usually wouldn't be able to provide. Of course, the smart mirror also collects data about the customer, the length of a fitting room session, the conversion ratio, items bought versus those tried on, and other information that a store can then analyze in aggregate to gain valuable insights. For example, customers might bring a certain clothing item into the fitting room frequently, but then seldom purchase it, prompting a store to revise its future buying. And further down the line, this kind of customer data and other information, such as customer movement, could be used to design stores in new ways. Imagine being able to run a variety of customer data models through design software, optimizing store layout for customer satisfaction, return visits, or the purchase of particular items. A retailer can also use AI to address operational issues like staffing, One global Japanese clothing retailer has been working to optimize its team of sales associates on the floor. In clothing or shoe stores, salespeople are key. Around 70% of surveyed customers report wanting in-store recommendations. Thus, to make better staffing decisions, this retailer decided to use a system from an AI company called Percolata. The software developed an optimal schedule in 15-minute increments for the stores and suggested the most effective combination of sales associates at any one time. The automation eliminated managers' sometimes inadvertent biases in scheduling favorites more often, even if they didn't contribute to the overall success of a sales team. In a rollout of the system in 20 U.S. locations, the company discovered that its stores were overstaffed 53% of the time and understaffed 33% of the time. And Percolata's scheduling recommendations have boosted the Japanese retailer's sales by 10 to 30%. In addition, Percolata's system frees managers from an estimated 3 hours daily that they had previously used for fiddling with schedules, and it allows sales workers more flexibility in their hours. An innovation from Europe is pushing the retail envelope in other ways. Almax, an Italian company, has developed a mannequin with computer vision and facial recognition technology. The AI system can identify you by your gender, approximate age, and race. Boutique shops and fashion brands like Benetton have been deploying the high-tech mannequins to learn more about their customers. One retail outlet, for example, discovered that men who shopped during the first few days of a sale tended to spend more than women, prompting that business to modify its window displays accordingly. Another store reportedly learned that Chinese shoppers made up one-third of customers using a particular entrance after 4 p.m., so Chinese-speaking staffers were located there during these hours. In the future, retailers could use AI technology to provide customer personalization. A mannequin or mirror that recognizes you can pull up your buying history and help a human sales clerk suggest articles of clothing that you might like. Such advances would typify the human-machine collaboration and augmentation described in the introductory chapter, with AI technology doing what it does best, sifting through and processing copious data to recommend certain actions, and humans doing what they do best, exercising their judgment and social skills to help customers purchase products that better fit their needs. Moreover, as AI systems become more advanced, they will be able to analyze a customer's facial expression and voice tone to determine that person's emotional state, and then respond in the appropriate way. In Chapter 5, we'll hear how some advanced AI applications are already being trained to be more empathetic. However, as such technological advances continue pushing the retail envelope, they'll likely raise privacy and ethical concerns. Almax, for instance, has been working to extend its mannequin's hearing capability, raising fears they can potentially eavesdrop to capture customers' reactions to the clothing displayed. In Chapter 5, we'll discuss how companies that deploy such cutting-edge technologies will need human employees to assess and address the various ethical concerns likely to arise. AI in retail sales. Recent studies belie the once-feared demise of brick-and-mortar stores due to online retailers. Now, with AI, both channels can better personalize the shopping experience. Lowe's Lobot is a physical robot that maneuvers around stores in 11 retail locations in the San Francisco area, answering shoppers' questions and checking stock levels on shelves. H&M, partnering with the popular chat platform Kik, has developed a bot plugin that, based on a short questionnaire, suggests clothing items and learns style preferences over time. The Kraft Phone Assistant gives recipes of the day and identifies ingredients and where to buy them. Over time, it learns preferences, such as favorite stores and the number of people in a household, to refine its recommendations. AI for super salespeople. AI is not only helping salespeople on the retail floor, it's also empowering them wherever and whenever they're interacting with customers. From automatically sending perfectly composed emails via a digital assistant, to cleverly and quickly organizing sales data, AI is offloading some of the major time sinks of sales teams. What's more, as sales and marketing have become more digital, they have lost some of the personal touch that attracted many to the field in the first place. AI is giving salespeople and marketers the time and insights to cut through the high volume and opacity of digital interactions and letting them be more human. A startup called Sixth Sense, for example, offers software that crunches huge amounts of data to help a salesperson send an email to a potential customer at just the right time. By analyzing customers who visit a client's site, as well as third-party data from a variety of publicly available sources, including social media, Sixth Sense can paint a more complete picture of interest and assess if and when a customer might be ready to buy and even preempt objections in the sales process. Whereas in the past, a salesperson might glean a sales opportunity based on physical or social cues over the phone or in person, Sixth Sense is returning to salespeople some of the skills that more socially opaque online interactions, like the extensive use of email, had blunted. Your buddy, the brand. Some of the biggest changes to the front office are happening through online tools and AI-enabled interfaces. Think how easily Amazon customers can purchase a vast array of consumer items, thanks to AI-enhanced product recommendation engines and Alexa, the personal assistant bot, which is used via Echo, the smart voice-enabled wireless speaker. AI systems, to those designed for jobs like customer service, are now beginning to play a much larger role in generating revenue, traditionally a front office objective, and the ease of the purchasing experience has become a major factor for customers. In one study, 98% of online customers said they would be likely or very likely to make another purchase if they had a good experience. When AI performs the job of customer interaction, the software can become a primary way for a company to distinguish itself from competitors. In these scenarios, AI ceases being simply a technological tool. It becomes the face of the brand, just as Alexa is now becoming the face of Amazon's brand. What's so important about brands? During the 20th century, as corporations grew in prominence, and advertising became an industry unto itself, corporate branding grabbed hold. With it came memorable mascots, like a talking tiger that tells us our breakfast cereal is great, and a friendly man made of car tires who waves hello. Tony the Tiger and the Michelin Man, also known as Bibendum, are examples of a marketing trick called brand anthropomorphism. By giving a brand a personality, a catchphrase, or other human-like traits, a company has a better chance of wooing customers and keeping them. These days, brand anthropomorphism extends to conversational AI bots as well. We know they're not human, but they're human enough to get and keep our attention, and even affection. The implication of AI-based brand anthropomorphism is intriguing. Alexa could, over time, become more recognizable than its parent company, Amazon. Thanks to the simplicity of the conversational interface, customers may soon spend more time engaged with a company's AI than with its people. This shift in customer interaction, while easier in some ways, isn't without its challenges to the companies deploying it. Each interaction provides an opportunity for a customer to judge the AI bot, and therefore, the brand and company's performance. In the same way that we can be delighted or angered by an interaction with a customer service representative, we can form a lasting impression of a bot. Moreover, interactions with bots are more far-reaching than any one-off conversation with a sales or customer service rep. A single bot can theoretically interact with billions of people at once. Good and bad impressions could have long-term global reach. Therefore, decisions about a brand ambassador's name, personality, and voice are some of the most fundamental that an organization makes. Should the voice be female, male, or ambiguous? Should the personality be sassy or saintly, nerdy or hip? Questions of personality and presentation invariably represent the values of an organization, or at the very least, what an organization suspects its customers value. There are plenty of challenges in figuring this out for a static mascot, but with AI, these decisions become more complicated and nuanced. Amazon has decided, for example, that Alexa won't repeat profanity, nor will it often use slang. Moreover, conversational bots are designed to be dynamic, able to learn and change, so companies must also determine what boundaries to set as their bots evolve over time. The curious incident of the disintermediated brand. An intriguing effect has emerged as more and more companies have deployed solutions using AI platforms like Siri, Watson, Cortana, and Alexa. It's a phenomenon called brand disintermediation. Since 1994, Amazon has connected with its customers almost exclusively through their eyes. The company's easy-to-navigate website and later its mobile applications made it simple to find what you needed, or didn't know you needed, and buy it. Then, in 2014, Amazon added a new mode of customer service, an AI-enabled, voice-activated, Wi-Fi-connected in-home speaker called Echo. Suddenly, Amazon had ears, and suddenly, Amazon customers were speaking directly to the company, refreshing orders of paper towels and asking the AI bot Alexa to play music or read from a Kindle ebook. As the technology has evolved, Alexa has become increasingly capable of orchestrating a number of interactions on behalf of outside companies, allowing people to order pizza from Domino's, check their Capital One bank balance, and obtain the status updates of Delta flights. In the past, companies like Domino's, Capital One, and Delta owned the entire customer experience, but now, with Alexa, Amazon owns part of the information exchange as well as the fundamental interface between the companies and the customer, and it can use that data to improve its own services. Brand disintermediation had taken hold. Disintermediated brands appear in other contexts, too. For instance, Facebook creates no content, yet it brokers content for billions of individuals and thousands of media markets. Uber owns almost no vehicles, yet it is the world's largest taxi service. In a hyper-networked world where mobile phones, speakers, thermostats, and even exercise clothes are connected to the internet and potentially each other, brands have to learn to play well with each other or give up a certain amount of control to those that own the most popular interfaces. For better or for worse, the power is in the portal. Meanwhile, at Amazon, AI has been enabling a major transition. By the end of 2016, the online giant had sold more than 5 million Echo devices, and e-commerce had begun its shift from clicks to conversation. Call it the era of zero-click commerce. When brands get personal. Allowing consumers to personalize their own AI would take brand anthropomorphism far beyond its initial 20th century concept of cartoon mascots. It also brings us into murky ethical territory that has ramifications for how we design conversational bots. As these bots become more adept at communicating, they can appear to act as a trusted friend, ready with sage or calming advice. But have the designers of the bot considered how to respond to questions that are deeply personal? Can a bot recognize when a person is searching the internet for symptoms that might indicate appendicitis or even cancer? What if a person admits to feeling suicidal or a recent victim of assault? How should a bot respond? A 2016 study looked at how well Apple's Siri, Microsoft's Cortana, Google Now, and S Voice from Samsung responded to various prompts that dealt with mental or physical health issues. All four bots were, according to the researchers, inconsistent and incomplete in their ability to recognize a crisis, respond with respectful language, and determine whether to refer the person to an appropriate helpline or health resource. Siri was the most proactive for physical health concerns by frequently responding to staged descriptions of a variety of afflictions with a list of nearby medical facilities. However, it didn't consistently distinguish the urgency between minor issues like a headache and emergencies like a heart attack. Our findings indicate missed opportunities to leverage technology to improve referrals to healthcare services, the researchers reported. As artificial intelligence increasingly integrates with daily life, software developers, clinicians, and professional societies should design and test approaches that improve the performance of conversational agents. One approach to the idea of thoughtful bots is to design a kind of empathy engine that could plug into any AI. An MIT startup called Coco is currently developing such an engine. The service, available on Kik, an instant messenger service, leverages a human community to answer sensitive questions, and those responses train Coco's machine learning capabilities. You might let it know that you're nervous about how you'll look in a job interview, for example. Within a few minutes, you could get a response like, "It's okay to look like what you really are." Right now, the AI is smart enough to answer some questions before a human responder can get to it, but the automated system is still in its eavesdropping phase. According to Coco co-founder Fraser Kelton, "We're working to provide empathy as a service to any voice or messaging platform. We think that's a critical user experience for a world in which you're conversing with computers." So, to recap, we've gone from a tiger named Tony who reminds you that Frosted Flakes are great to a conversational AI bot that knows enough to express sympathy for your stress about an upcoming job interview, and a voice-activated speaker that obeys your command to order a magic bullet blender for making breakfast smoothies. It's quite a leap in capability, and the territory of conversational bots has yet to be fully charted. In part two of this book, we will discuss the best practices emerging to help organizations make sustainable and profitable decisions about how to use these powers of AI. From the playbooks of digital giants. More and more, traditional companies are now deploying data analytics tricks for marketing and sales that we more commonly associate with companies like Amazon, eBay, and Google. This means that even a company like Coca-Cola can be a leader in AI. Earlier, we described how the soft drink giant was developing a smart cooler cabinet for its millions of retail locations around the world. The company has also deployed AI in its social media marketing. What's special about Coca-Cola's AI application is that it can effectively gauge the emotions behind trending news events like David Bowie's death or the Super Bowl, and develop creative marketing that will better resonate with customers. In tests of the system, creative content that leveraged AI-enabled insights on customers' moods during the 2016 Summer Olympics resulted in a 26% bump in how much more likely people were to view or share that content. Such increases could potentially lead to a significant impact on the bottom line. Other AI applications in sales and marketing might be less flashy, but the work they do is no less valuable. Campbell Soup Company, for instance, has worked with Ditto Labs to deploy AI for making sense of the consumer chatter on social media. The application sifts through and analyzes enormous amounts of visual data. So far, the company has tested the technology on its V8 brand, and according to Uman Shah, global director of digital marketing and innovation at Campbell, the feedback from the unprompted and authentic data has led to valuable customer insights. AI in the sales and marketing process. The broad availability of data and the shifting of sales and marketing tactics online mean that AI is becoming an ever more important tool for developing new process strategies. State Farm combines skills scores with drivers' biometric data, indicating emotional states, captured from a variety of sensors and cameras. Its data analytics lets the company customize its rates to more closely match actual risk and driver safety levels. GlaxoSmithKline uses Watson ads from IBM to make interactive online ads. Viewers of an ad can ask it questions via voice or text recognition. Google uses AI to factor millions of signals to determine optimal bids for AdWords and double-click search, getting the most out of its marketing tools. The shape of jobs to come. In this chapter, we learned about companies at the forefront of reimagining their processes for front office and customer interactions. Coca-Cola, for one, has been conducting a pilot project that could transform the way customers order beverage products for 16 million cooler cabinets around the world, using AI to reimagine that process. That reimagining is the mindset part of our MELDS framework. Meanwhile, Ralph Lauren has been developing a smart mirror to improve the consumer experience for buying clothes. The mirror not only assists shoppers by, for example, informing them if a particular item might be available in a different color or size, it also continually collects information. Here, we heard the data part of MELDS in action, as Ralph Lauren can then analyze that information to obtain valuable insights, such as the specific kinds of products that consumers might try on, but rarely buy. But the use of increasingly smart mirrors, mannequins that eavesdrop, and other similar devices could eventually raise privacy and ethical concerns that companies will need to address. And this is why firms should never neglect the important leadership part of MELDS. Moreover, as AI systems like smart mirrors become more advanced, they will require increasing levels of training. For instance, bots like Siri and Alexa already need considerable training by humans to display the appropriate amount of empathy when a customer is frustrated, angry, or anxious. And that's why executives need to pay attention to the skills part of MELDS, to ensure that they have the employees they need to perform that training. Moreover, firms must also devote the proper resources to the experimentation part of MELDS in order to find, for example, just the right balance of emotion for bots like Siri and Alexa. This chapter also hinted at how new kinds of jobs may emerge in the front office. As bots become critical components of the customer service infrastructure, for instance, their personalities will need to be designed, updated, and managed. Experts in unexpected disciplines such as human conversation, dialogue, humor, poetry, and empathy will need to lead the charge. Moreover, in the new world of augmented and automated work, user interface and experienced designers will have utmost importance, as the interface between people, whether an organization's customers or its employees, will have a disproportionate impact on whether an AI-based product or service survives and thrives, or if it fails. In part 2 of this book, and especially in chapter 5, we will discuss these new types of roles and their important implications for organizations. Part 2. The Missing Middle. Reimagining Processes with AI. Part 2. Introduction. The Missing Middle. Reimagining Processes with AI. The previous chapters described how businesses are currently using AI. Across industries, companies are reaping the benefits of effective human-machine teams. Human strengths like creativity, improvisation, dexterity, judging, and social and leadership abilities are still relevant and important, as are machine strengths like speed, accuracy, repetition, predictive capabilities, and scalability. When businesses reorganize the relative strengths of each, they can improve the effectiveness and motivation of their employees at the same time that they boost their top and bottom lines. But what's coming tomorrow? Part 2 is our prognostication. In the following chapters, we move deeper into the human-machine dynamic and look at what you can do to reimagine business processes around such a dynamic. While certain job tasks might always be the exclusive province of either human or machine, our research shows that many old jobs are transforming and new jobs are emerging around human-machine teams. The novel jobs that grow from the human-machine partnerships are happening in what we call the missing middle. New ways of working that are largely missing from today's economic research and reporting on jobs. The traditional approach has been to view humans and machines as rivals, each side fighting for the other's jobs. But that binary perspective is overly simplified and neglects the powerful collaborations that have been occurring in the missing middle between the two sides. The simple truth is that companies can achieve the largest boosts in performance when humans and machines work together as allies, not adversaries, in order to take advantage of each other's complementary strengths. What's easy for us, folding a towel, for instance, can be devilishly tricky for machines. And what's easy for machines, spotting hidden patterns in huge data sets, for instance, can be extremely difficult for us to do. Indeed, humans can thrive in situations where there is little or no data, whereas machines excel in situations where there is lots of data. Business requires both kinds of capabilities, and it's in the missing middle where that type of collaborative teamwork occurs. Moreover, machine learning and other AI technologies can often function like black boxes, resulting in decisions that might not be explainable. That might be acceptable for certain types of systems, but other applications, for example those in the medical and legal fields, generally require humans in the loop. In the past, when digital tools were used mainly to automate existing processes, companies had no missing middle to fill. But now, with increasingly sophisticated AI technologies that enable human-machine collaborations, developing the missing middle has become one of the key components to reimagining business processes. Doing so starts with the approach that many of the companies described in Part 1 of the book are already taking. They think of AI as an investment in human talent first, and technology second. They value workers who are adaptable, entrepreneurial, and open to retraining. Then these companies provide support to ensure that their workers and AI systems can succeed together. In doing so, they lay the foundations for adaptable, robust business processes capable of withstanding economic shocks and increasing the rate of technological change. To further develop the missing middle, businesses also need to understand the ways humans help machines and the ways machines help humans. Here we find cutting-edge jobs and hints of future jobs for both humans and machines. Leveraging the missing middle is one of the main components needed to reimagine business processes. But another key component is revamping the concept of the process itself. Businesses need to shift from seeing processes as collections of sequential tasks. In the age of AI, processes become more dynamic and adaptable. Instead of visualizing a process as a collection of nodes along a straight line, say, it might help to see it as a sprawling network of movable, reconnectable nodes, or perhaps something with a hub and spokes. The linear model for process no longer cuts it. In addition to developing the missing middle and rethinking process fundamentals, businesses need to have management address the challenges of reimagining process with an awareness of responsible AI. It's important that executives not only provide the training required for people to make valuable contributions in the missing middle, they must also consider the various ethical, moral, and legal issues associated with the AI systems that their organizations deploy. Key questions include: as a publicly traded company, what obligations do we have to our shareholders, employees, and larger society to ensure that we deploy AI for good and not harm? If we use AI in a new process, how can we do it in compliance with laws and regulations like General Data Protection Regulation, GDPR? How can we ensure that we have thought through AI's possible unintended consequences that can create brand and public relations issues for the company? It's still in the early days, but organizations across a variety of industries are showing remarkable creativity in the ways they're enlisting AI and their employees to responsibly revamp, modify, and reimagine business processes. Along the way, they're shining a light on a future that is increasingly applicable not just to digital behemoths like Facebook and Amazon, but to every organization entering the third era of enterprise transformation. Consider Rio Tinto, the diversified global mining company. AI technology is enabling the firm to control its large fleet of machinery from a central operations facility. The fleet includes autonomous drills, excavators, earth movers, driverless trucks, and other equipment deployed at mines that might be thousands of miles away. Data from sensors on various machines is continuously fed into a large database, and AI technology is deployed to analyze that information for valuable insights. Data on the braking patterns of dump trucks, for example, might help predict maintenance problems. But this is hardly an example of pure automation that has replaced humans. The Rio Tinto Command Center employs a host of data analysts, engineers, and skilled remote operators who work together to manage the large fleet. The data analysts, for instance, analyze information in the database in order to make recommendations to the remote operators. One of the many benefits of the centralized location is that it brings together those operators who might never have met face-to-face. Because these individuals work alongside one another, remotely controlling their equipment through display screens, they can better coordinate their efforts to deal with changing conditions like adverse weather and equipment breakdowns. Rio Tinto's massive investments in AI have certainly not been without their fair share of setbacks. For instance, a driverless train system for hauling ore across Australia has hit a major delay. But what's noteworthy here is the powerful combination of humans and machines that has the potential for overall better decision-making and continual improvements in the company's vast operations. Many might not consider Rio Tinto a digital-first company, yet it has reconfigured its workforce to work effectively alongside AI systems. In doing so, it has reimagined some of its processes to look more like something out of NASA's Mission Control in Houston, an atypical yet effective approach for a mining company. Now, what happens if you build your company with human-machine teams in mind from the start? The 6-year-old company Stitch Fix is a prime example of the missing middle and process reimagination in action. Its main service is personal shopping, but with a twist. The company picks out new clothes and sends them straight to your door based on data you provide, such as a style survey, measurements, and a Pinterest board. If you don't like any of the items, you just send them back. Gone are the days of spending hours at a store and trying on dozens of outfits, only to find, if you're lucky, a few that work. Stitch Fix wouldn't be possible without machine learning. But the company also knows a human touch is crucial to its success, because Stitch Fix lives and dies by the quality of its clothing suggestions. Its recommendation system, composed of both people and machines, is at the core of its service. The structured data, like surveys, measurements, and brand preferences, is managed by machines. Human stylists pay more attention to the unstructured data, such as images from Pinterest boards and notes from customers about why they're looking for new clothes. When it's time to assemble a shipment, machine learning algorithms reduce the potential options in terms of style, size, brand, and other factors, and provide a stylist with a manageable number of choices. A machine augments the worker. The stylist then uses his or her expertise to finalize the package and possibly include a personalized note. Both the human and machine are constantly learning and updating their decision-making. The client's decision to keep an item of clothing or not is the yes or no information that's used to train the algorithm so that it suggests more relevant items in the future. The stylist also improves based on this information, as well as hunches and notes from the customer. What is it like to work at Stitch Fix? It's more than 2,800 stylists log in at their own computers, which become a digital console of sorts, and then click around an interface that's designed to help them make quick, relevant styling decisions. Options are automatically sorted, so they waste no time searching through wrong-sized items. The interface also provides client information like risk tolerance and feedback history. Interestingly, the interface is designed to help stylists overcome biases. It can vary the information they see to test for and nudge them out of recommendation ruts. Even with constant monitoring and algorithms that guide decision-making, according to internal surveys, Stitch Fix stylists are mostly satisfied with the work. And this type of work, built around augmented creativity and flexible schedules, will indeed play an important role in the workforce of the future. By offering health insurance and other W-2 benefits for stylists, who work a certain number of hours each week, Stitch Fix is also distinguishing itself as a company that understands critical human management elements of the emerging on-demand work environment. Fast forward. Both Rio Tinto and Stitch Fix have taken their own approaches to fleshing out the missing middle and reimagining processes in their industry. We designed the examples to help you recognize your own opportunities to build the missing middle, transform processes, and take specific steps toward reimagining the future of work. The human and machine revolution has already begun, but there are still many questions to answer and paths to forge. That's the goal of the remaining chapters. So let's continue our journey. 5. Rearing your algorithms right. Three roles humans play in developing and deploying responsible AI. Melissa Sefkin has an interesting job. As a principal scientist at Nissan's research center in Silicon Valley, she works alongside traditional car designers in developing the next generation of self-driving vehicles. Her role is to ensure a smooth collaboration between human and machine, that is, between driver and automobile. And that's why she has a background in anthropology. You need to understand humans if you want to provide them with an automated partner, she contends. Sefkin's role at Nissan is to think about things that most car designers might not consider. Take, for example, driving rules and conventions, most of which are pretty cut and dried. For instance, not crossing a double line. Yet, people will often break them in certain conditions, crossing a double line to avoid a collision. How, then, should autonomous cars be programmed to handle exactly when and where to break a rule? Working along with programmers, electronic engineers, and AI experts, Sefkin is hoping to imbue AI self-driving algorithms with specific human traits, such as the flexibility to break rules for a greater good. As a vehicle design anthropologist, Sefkin is one of a growing number of professionals whose jobs didn't exist until relatively recently. Over the years, AI systems have quickly become a part of everyday business, recommending products to customers, helping factories operate more efficiently, and diagnosing and fixing problems with IT systems. That transformation has led to considerable discussion about the potential for the disappearance of whole categories of jobs over the coming years. Think about the scores of warehouse workers that Amazon currently employs. But what's often overlooked in the discussion is that many jobs like Sefkin's will also be created. A large number of these jobs will focus on humans training the machines, and in order to develop AI systems capable of complex interactions with people, the training process will increasingly look like a child's development path. In our global study of more than 1,500 companies now using or testing AI and machine learning systems, we found the emergence of entire categories of different jobs that will become increasingly prominent. These new jobs are not simply replacing old ones. They are entirely novel positions, requiring skills and training never needed before. Specifically, sophisticated AI systems are necessitating new business and technology roles that train, explain, and sustain AI behavior. Such work complements the tasks that AI machines perform. Symbiotic with AI, the new roles draw on distinctively human skills. Where in your organization might you find these new jobs? How do they fit into existing and reimagined processes? In this chapter, we answer those questions and provide examples to help you start thinking about your own applications for trainers, explainers, and sustainers. Trainers. In the past, people had to adapt to how computers worked. Now, the reverse is happening. AI systems are learning how to adapt to us. Generally speaking, we tend to react positively to AI with human-like behavior, because it allows us to interact more naturally with machines. Yet we can also be disturbed by any imperfections in human-like robots, a phenomenon called the uncanny valley, which will be discussed later in this chapter. In manufacturing, for instance, the newer, lightweight, flexible robotic systems that work alongside humans need to be programmed and trained to handle different tasks. This requires employees with the right skills. For automakers, highly automated factories incur steep financial costs for equipment breakdowns. An unscheduled 6-hour shutdown at an automated assembly line that manufactures a $50,000 vehicle every minute would incur a cost of around $18 million. That's one of the reasons why, over the past decade, Fannuc, a leading robotic manufacturer, has trained 47,000 people to use its equipment. Even so, a shortage